Hello and welcome into another episode of Stacking Dubs. This is your host, Chris Chin. Not gonna lie, guys, that one hurt. That one was a gut shot on many levels. Warriors go down, losing to the Bulls 125-122 on the second night of a back-to-back. But even still, Bulls were also on a back-to-back, a game that the Warriors should have won, should not have had too much problems with. A game that the Warriors led by 13 points at one point, that lead diminished pretty darn quickly by halftime we were trailing. Game that was back and forth down the stretch and sort of unraveled in the closing minutes for many different reasons, none which the least was Steph Curry's ankle injury to that same right ankle that he had surgery on many years ago. The same ankle that Warriors and Dub Nation collectively hold their hearts, hold their breaths anytime you see Steph hobbling on that right ankle. We're going to talk about that in a bit more depth. Let's go back through this one. All in all, the Warriors didn't play that poorly. Offensively, they got good contributions. Klay had 25. Draymond Green had a triple-double. Jonathan Kuminga had 19 and 10, a double-double. Moses Moody played great and spirited down the stretch, especially in that fourth quarter. Things to like about this, and we'll find some more silver linings kind of as we look forward. But ultimately, I thought, and Steve Kerr would agree, the Bulls played really well. They made a lot of really tough shots. They made five more threes than the Warriors, who were cold tonight. It felt very much like one of those games where just sometimes the shots don't fall for you and the shots do fall for them. Made a lot of contested mid-range shots from DeRozan. Vucevic couldn't miss. Yes, we had our trouble guarding DeRozan and keeping him out of that elbow jumper, but he still just buried everything, including a couple shots down the stretch over the outstretched arms of good defenders. Sometimes there's just only so much you can do against good players. That being said, of course, the Warriors, this game was very much dictated by the effort and the energy that with which they played with. Early in the game, came out okay. Made some shots, jumped out to an 8-point lead. We said stretched it to 13. Then the second version of the Warriors that we've seen this year show up. Little less hustle, little less grits, not playing with enough force. Bulls close the gap, end up going into the half with the lead. At which point you had a feeling the Warriors were going to turn it on. I know they were sort of pacing themselves coming off that back-to-back. You felt like they would be able to step on the gas and separate in this one. And they came out of the locker room second half pretty well. They started running. They started defending. They were getting loose balls, offensive rebounds. A lot to like about that version of the Warriors playing hard, playing with force, especially the young guys. It's really that energy that we talked about last podcast. That energy is going to get you out of these long dry spells, these droughts. When the bleeding is just tough to stop, it's that energy, that tenacity and aggressiveness that's going to get you out of it just reliably more than anything else. And that's what the Warriors showed. And that's why they were in this game down the stretch, despite the Bulls being red hot. Ultimately, as we enter the fourth quarter, the youngsters, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, really shined effort wise and really just defensively. Warriors had a small lead. And then Steph turns his ankle. And again, we'll talk about this in a little bit more, but let's get through the last couple minutes. Things start to fall apart. We're back and forth, several lead changes. Draymond Green fouls out on an offensive foul, trying to set a screen. It was a foul. Tough one to go out on. Then down the stretch, Klay made a huge three to retake the lead in the final minute. Then DeRozan goes against Kuminga, I believe, at that point. Nice up fake. It's just impossible. You're either going to stay down and DeRozan's going to rise up and hit the jumper, or you're going to fall for his up fake and you're going to foul him and he's still going to hit the jumper, which is what happened in this one. So DeRozan hits a little mid-range and one, puts the Bulls back up two. Warriors have a chance to tie. Pajemski splits the lane and just misses the open layup. Tough way to lose. Pajemski, he said he didn't know that he had that much space, and he thought Vucevic was still behind him. Whatever the reason, he addressed it. He was honest. He did not shy away from what happened. He didn't make excuses. He just missed the layup. It happens. Tough pill to swallow. If we're trying to put this in perspective, we lost a game. It's a loss. It hurts. The way and the manner that we lost really hurts. But let's try to zoom out a little bit here and look a little bit longer term. It's a loss. Still staying in that 10 seed in the West. We're going to be in the play-in. Now with Steph Curry out now, I don't see us getting into the sixth spot or better. So we're going to be in the play-in. We might have to win a game or two to get out of the play-in. We're going to have to figure that out when the time comes and really just bring our best effort in those games. Let's look at the ankle. So Steph Curry, he's driving, gets into a little bit of traffic, intends to kick it out to the wing. As he's stopping his momentum, that right leg comes down a little wide in his jump stop ankle. Because of that, his momentum carries him. He kind of rolls that ankle outwards. So we're talking about a lateral ankle sprain. Lateral means the outside of that ankle. If you had rolled that ankle in, that would be a medial ankle sprain, a lot less frequent and takes a little bit longer to heal, medial ankle sprain. So we're happy that at least it's a lateral ankle sprain. It also, he didn't come down directly with all his weight. He wasn't jumping and landing on a foot where you're pretty much coming straight down and the ankle just collapses outwards. He was on his ball of his foot and rotated outwards, which is slightly better. He always wears those ankle braces ever since his ankle surgeries. So I'm hopeful that the brace, which it has in the past, does a lot to prevent further injury. Despite it looking bad and despite Steph really limping around a whole bunch, sometimes that ankle brace prevents really that stretching and tearing of ligaments, which would be a much longer injury. Steph's reaction, you could see pain in his face, but he's able to put weight on it as he limps his way up and down the court. He ends up doing a full lap around the court. The limp's not terrible, but it's hard, and the adrenaline's going. Sometimes you see what we're hoping is not a grade two ankle sprain. It's definitely not a grade three ankle sprain. That's when you're just unable to put any weight on it. I'm gonna guess it's somewhere between a one and a two. I'm cautiously optimistic that it's just kind of a bad grade one sprain, which means ligaments a little stretched, micro tears, but not like a true like moderate tear in that ankle. If we're looking at standard timelines for professional athletes, we'll just call them basketball players. A grade one ankle sprain, you're usually out for about 2 weeks, a week to 2 weeks. Sometimes you see guys playing through it if it's the playoffs and 2 days later, it's heavily taped up and they're playing through it compromised. We don't want Steph coming back in any way compromised. So he's going to take the full rest because I don't think it's severe enough where he's going to be rushing back in time for the play-in or playoffs, assuming we get there. He has time to let this recover fully and go through a full rehab process. Again, assuming this is kind of a one, two grade ankle sprain. If it's grade two, now we're talking potentially in that 3 to 5 week span. And they're kind of broad ranges. So if you're talking good lower range grade two versus higher range grade two, I think it would be the lower range grade two at worst. And so we're talking maybe 4 weeks would be my pessimistic view of this. Taking a look through kind of what his rehab schedule would look like. So let's call it a 1.5 grade tear, right? So he's going to be off of it, immobilized, no weight bearing, really just resting for 2, 3 days while the swelling goes down. We want to see improved swelling. We want to get a little bit of just kind of mobility, right? So he's just kind of flexing. We call it dorsiflexion, where you're bringing your toes up, kind of pointing your toes towards your shin, and then plantar flexion, where we're going downwards, just kind of extending that ankle away from your shin. He'll be doing a little bit of that in probably day two, day three, just to kind of keep it moving and try to get the mobility going. Depending how long it takes the swelling to go down, he will advance to balance and kind of walking type exercises. So he'll be weight bearing and be able to two-footed, you know, just body weight, like squat and kind of basic movements there. He'll progress to single leg balance where you're trying to get more stability in that ankle. All this while, he's probably going to be doing upper body workouts. He'll be doing probably battle ropes, maybe some swimming, just trying to keep his cardio in shape without putting too much work on into that ankle and increasing swelling. So again, if we're looking at grade 1.5, we're probably talking about 5, 6 days where he's resting and just kind of doing some balance and mobility. After that, if all goes well, the swelling continues to subside, then he's going to start doing banded strength exercises. So we're talking about rubber band, TheraBand type stuff where you're basically pushing against those bands, trying to build up some strength in all different directions on the ankle. That phase will usually last anywhere from 2 to 3 to 5 days, depending how bad that ankle is, and you're just continuing to strengthen and build upon it. And then once that strength comes back, now you're progressing to jogging, and then eventually you're progressing to running, and then change of direction, and then finally your explosive movement. That whole process could take anywhere from a few days to a couple weeks. It really depends how his ankle responds. For the sake of a 1.5 grade injury, I'm going to say that's about 10 days out there that he's finally like getting back to a change of direction and some agility. Then it's return to play, right? We're talking he has to ramp up his cardio. He has to progress from on-court exercises. Next stage would be 3-on-3 scrimmage, just light 3-on-3. A couple of days later after that, then you're progressing to full 5-on-5 scrimmage. And then if all goes well, we're returned to play. Best case scenario, I'm talking about 2 weeks here. Realistically, 2 to 3.5, 4 weeks. I know I'm throwing it. The timelines are so fluid. It really just depends. Also of note, return to play, there's a difference between return to play and return to performance, right? If you're a football fan, if you're a Cooper Kupp fantasy football owner like myself, you heard Sean McVay talk about it with Cooper Kupp's injuries. There's return to play where you're back playing, then there's return to performance where you are, and Steph Curry's a superstar, you're back to playing and being the best player on the court. You can do everything without hesitation. You're fully exploding off of that leg. You're really back to, we'll call it 95% of what you normally are, if not more. So return to play, that process will probably take another week or so to really ramp up his minutes and get him back to return to performance. So all in all, until Steph Curry is truly Steph Curry again, it might be a month. Hopefully less. It could be a month. There's about 5.5 weeks left in the regular season. What that means is if we can get him back in about 3 weeks, then he has 2.5 weeks to really ramp up. There's 21 games left total. So in the 3.5 weeks, that gives him 5 or 6 games left in the season to ramp up and get ready for the play-in or playoffs. That's what we're hopeful for. Okay, so that's enough on the injury. Where he's getting an MRI today. We're gonna find out more probably in a few hours. My guess is that they're gonna say he's a lateral ankle sprain. We're gonna reevaluate him in 1 to 2 weeks. Hopefully, they say 1 week. If they're saying 2 weeks, that's probably a sign that's a grade 2 injury. But hopefully, he's reevaluated in a week. Yeah, that's probably all we're gonna get from there. We're not gonna get too much more. They'll probably say he has swelling, and they're waiting for the swelling to go down and we're hoping for the best. That's all we're probably gonna get. Okay. Well, I should have seen all this coming, guys. Just side note, my microphone broke yesterday when I was recording the podcast. I had to re-record the entire podcast yesterday. So if you listened yesterday, you're listening today. I know it sounds a little echoey. I have another one coming in the mail later today. I should have known this was a sign that something was gonna bad was gonna happen. It was a rough day yesterday, guys. Oh, I'm so sorry. All right, back to it. Here's my silver linings. Let's look at optimism, right? So in 2022, you guys know the story. Steph Curry with that foot injury. I forget who, I think it was Marcus Smart, dove into him, had that foot sprain. I'm gonna guess it's similar severity to kind of this ankle here. Curry missed the last 12 games of the regular season, right? So that happened with, I wanna say, 3 weeks left in the regular season. So we have a couple more weeks we're working with this time. Anyways, he missed the last 12 games of that regular season, came back off the bench for the first 2 games in the playoffs against the Nuggets, ended up being great. You know the rest of the story. Warriors go on, win the finals. And Steph Curry's finals MVP had nice fresh legs from his couple weeks off and really was able to make a good push and have a legendary playoff run. So that's what we're hopeful for. To which I know you were thinking in your head, well, the Warriors that season were a 3 seed. This year we're a 10 seed right now, and it's much different. I agree. That being said, the Warriors, yes, they're going to be a little bit more gassed, fatigued. It's going to be wearing, tearing on them just to fight in through that play-in to get a better seed. It's going to be a lot on Chris Paul. It's going to be a lot more on Draymond. It's going to be a lot on everybody to shoulder this load, and it's going to fatigue us more than it would have had we had Steph Curry heading into the playoffs. So yes, I am with you there. But if we're taking a step back, the Warriors as constructed, we at best we've said they're maybe dark horse contenders, but realistically they're kind of a top five team in the West is how I would categorize them. The only way they're going to get to become a championship team, which is the ultimate goal, is for everyone else to start playing better and finding new things that work. What we were doing and the paradigm that we were in was a top five team in the West, if not slightly better. We need to find new ways to reinvent ourselves, find new go-to bread and butter sets, combinations, plays. Players need to step up. Players need more experience. That's exactly what happened in 2022. Steph Curry went out. Jordan Poole, who is no longer with us, took on extra minutes, really came into his own. Warriors found a combination that worked, lineups that worked. Klay Thompson stepped up with Jordan Poole and found that that lineup worked. There are reasons to think that this is going to be a good experience for our young players, and especially just the different combinations. The hardest thing for the Warriors this year has been the absence of a number two scorer that can consistently shoulder the load. This might be that chance, maybe not to find a number two scorer, Jonathan Kuminga, I'm looking at you, but a chance to find a number two just offensive system and style of play. That Chris Paul pick and roll is just going to be run and run and run. And we see what that offense has done for teams in the past. Those are successful teams. We can really fine-tune and get a lot of repetitions with the Chris Paul combos with TJD, with Kuminga, with Draymond, with Klay Thompson. And I like that Klay Thompson and Trace pairing, a lot of pick and roll there. The Klay's combo was very good in this one, and that's going to continue to develop. On top of all that, we're just getting more minutes for all these young guys. Moody's going to play more. TJD is going to play more. Pajemski gets a lot of minutes, but he's going to play a lot. Everyone's going to get a lot of look and a lot of experience. So those are the silver linings that if this Warriors team is going to contend for a championship, this is almost a necessary evil for the team to grow, evolve, and get to that point so that when Steph Curry does come back, we already know what that looks like. It's a great team. That's a great offense. Steph Curry, you know exactly what we're going to get when he comes back healthy. He'll just enter right back in and we'll go right back to what we were doing and playing how we just won 14 of our last 18 games before last night. That team can still exist, but this next, call it, 2 weeks of team, that team can grow, and that team can grow good enough to where that's really a weapon for the playoffs. So that's what I'm looking forward to. That's me being optimistic. In reality, man, I still feel the bruising in my gut from just getting kicked in the gut multiple times last night. It was tough, guys. I feel you. I am sorry for everybody that had to watch that because I know it was a rough night. So I'm here for you. The team's here for you. The team's staying upbeat. Sometimes you just got to shake things up a little bit, even if it means your best player is going to be out. But it also means our best player is going to be rested. It's going to have fresh legs. It's going to have new perspective. And this is really a test of our team's resolve. Let's not forget the Warriors. The turning point in the season is RIP Coach Deki, right? Like that whole situation, that seemed like the lowest point in the season, which it was. And for many reasons, yes, that is the lowest point in many people's past several years, but look how the Warriors bounced back from that, right? They started playing with passion, with intensity. That's what we're going to need to have. We're going to have some resolve, some resiliency, and this team's going to really have to be tested with its character once again. And I believe in this team. I believe in our players, whether it's a championship run or not, this is going to be good in the long run to really see what we have. And if nothing else, kind of really understand how this team needs to be shaped going forward in the offseason. So I'm going to leave you with that, guys. I'm not going to go into it too much more. We'll be back after the Spurs game, maybe Monday or Tuesday. We play them twice coming up. Need to win both of those games. A split. We need to win this first game at home. Take care of the Spurs, then we'll hit the road. Let's start there. Guys, thanks for tuning in. I know it hasn't been easy. Let's move on. We're going to turn the page once again. It's just a loss. Steph will be fine. He has a great training team. The Warriors are the best trainers in the league. Shout out Rick Celebrini. We will be back, and we will be better than ever. So there it is, guys. I'm with you. Predictions. Steph Curry is going to miss 2.5 weeks till he returns, and it's only going to be about 6 to 7 games missed. That's my optimistic take. If you're listening to this and the news is already out, well, either I told you so, or my bad. You guys, sorry. Hindsight's a lot easier than trying to make predictions. Love you all, guys. Take care. Talk to you. Have a good weekend. Until next time, this is your host, Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.